Chapter 7, Verse 26 of the Bhagavad Gita, with your moderator, Dr. Anil Mehta.
And go to the next verse, which he continues this, and we'll talk a little bit about the sun god, which Hansa mentioned beautifully. We'll just continue that. So, the verse number 26, chapter 7.
Vedaham samatitani vartmanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana.
So Veda aham. So aham, the Lord says, I know. Veda, I know what? Samatitani, sama, all the past. Atita, atita means past. It's also in Hindi. Mere atit mein, they all use that. So sama atitani, all the past I know. Vartamanani, vartamanani, and I know the present. Cha, cha means and. Arjuna, I know the past. I know the present. Vartamanani and bhavishyani, and the future. Or cha, also I know the future. Bhutani, of whose? Of all the beings. By bhuta, we mean not only the humans, but also the animals, the plants, the birds, the fish. All beings, I know. I know the past, I know the present, I know the future. Mam tu vedana kashchana. Tu means but, mam, me, na veda, nobody knows. Kashchana, nobody knows me. I know everybody, but nobody knows me, unfortunately. So here, I thought I'll talk a little bit about the sun god, who represents the truth, represents the Lord. And when we say, the Lord says, I know everything. You know, I know the past, I know the present, I know the future. I, the Lord, is the self, the consciousness. Now my past, was the Lord not with me when I was a little child, and then I was crawling, and then I went to school and college? Yeah, the Lord was there. So then the Lord knows my past. The Lord knows where I am today, what I am doing, and then whatever I'll be doing in the future, obviously he will know, because he'll be with me constantly. It's just as an electricity. Electricity can say, I know all the bulbs of the past, present and future. And that is true. Even a bulb 100 years ago, when Thomas Edison first made the bulb, electricity was there and illuminating the first bulb. So all the bulbs in the past were illumined by electricity. All the bulbs today and everywhere in the whole earth are illumined by electricity. And all the bulbs in the future also will be illumined by electricity. So all the bulbs are known by electricity. So electricity knows all the bulbs, but the bulb does not know electricity. The bulb cannot illumine electricity. Electricity can illumine the bulb, but the bulb cannot say, I give light to electricity. So the bulb is dead, the bulb is impotent, is useless until the electric current comes and illumines it. So similarly, our body, mind and intellect are inert. It is only the light of consciousness that illumines. And when the light of consciousness comes, my body starts working, I can move my hand, my mind can feel its emotions, my intellect can think the thoughts, my desires start welling up, and then I start working in the world. So all the activities of my hand, my body, my mind and intellect are known to the consciousness, to the conscious. But none of us know him, because we never have time for him. Like I said, even in the last shloka, I have half an hour, 1 hour on Sunday when I go to the church or temple, and even there I'm thinking about my business. So I do not have time for him. And they say that the truth is covered by a golden plate. There is a very beautiful shloka. Actually, this Ishavasya Upanishad, I would like to recommend to everybody. This shloka is from there. It's a very small Upanishad, but talks very beautifully about the Lord's nature. It's a very beautiful, simple Upanishad, available in the bookstore. And the 15th verse, it says very beautifully, which I have translated here. It says, hiranmaye na patre na satyas apahitam mukham tatvam pushana pavranu satya dharmaya prishtaye. So he says the truth is covered by a golden plate. Hiranmaye na patre na satyas apahitam mukham. The face of truth is covered by a golden plate. O Lord Son, uncover that, remove that golden plate so that I may see the truth, because I am a seeker of the truth. I want to know the truth, and please reveal that truth to me. So this, the Son here represents God. As Hansa said, it is the light of consciousness. And if you think about it, the Son is the closest representation to divinity that is visible to us, because what happens? The sun illumines the earth. Now, without the sun's presence, nothing would be alive. The plants would not grow, the animals would not live, the humans would be dead, the earth would freeze, you know, within minutes. If there was no sun, the earth would freeze and we would all be dead. The sun is constantly illumining the earth, but the sun is not involved. The sun doesn't care. I mean, in the care in the sense, yeah, if somebody worships me, gets up in the morning and worship, oh, thank you, Lord Sun, is fine. Or somebody gets up and curses the sun. Why is the sun come out? I can't even sleep. The sun doesn't care, you know, whether you worship me, whether you prostrate to me, or whether you praise me, or whether you criticize me, I continue to give my rays. And without expecting anything in return, just as the Lord constantly gives us our life, whether we praise him, whether we criticize him, whether we curse him. Some people do that. They curse the Lord, or they get up in the morning and pray. The Lord continues to nourish us. And then we say that the sun is covered by the cloud. You know, like Hansa gave this beautiful example. Now the sun, which is 93 million miles away, and is illuminating not only the earth, but all the planets up to Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, Pluto, Mercury, all the entire space of millions and billions of miles are illumined by the sun. And this one little cloud, and we say it covered the sun, that is so ridiculous. The sun cannot be covered. The cloud is just covering my vision. The cloud happens to be on top of Bakersfield. It's a 5 mile long cloud or 10 miles, and it covers Bakersfield. And we say, oh my God, the sun is covered by the cloud. When will the sun come out? The sun was never covered. It was my vision that was covered. It was my ignorance. It was my foolishness. So similarly, this Lord or consciousness is covered. We think it is covered by the vasanas. In fact, he is ever there. It is my ignorance. It is my foolishness to say that I do not see the Lord. So the sun represents God, represents power, represents nourishment. That's why the sun in this particular shloka is called Pushana. Pushana means the nourisher. So the Lord is the nourisher of the universe, and that's why the sun is called Pushana. It nourishes, O Sun God, the nourisher. And the truth is covered by a golden plate. And what is this golden plate? The golden plate is my desires for wealth. You know, my desire here in golden means wealth, but it could be anything. A desire for more knowledge, a desire for more power, a desire so that my religion should be the predominant religion. You know, that is also a desire. You know, in fact, I was listening somewhere, you know, we talk about criminals, you know, like these three teenagers who killed that old lady, and we say, oh my God, it's a terrible thing. Yeah, it was bad, but thousands of people are massacred every day in the name of religion. You know, people are killed, you know, Muslims and Christians and Protestants and Catholics. In Africa, the tribes, you know, one tribe just goes and slaughters the whole village of the other tribe, not even leaving the smallest children, spearing them and all. And in the Crusades, and then in Israel and Palestine, or not only that, or if ideology, like in the communist world, you know, they say that Mao Zedong single-handedly, I didn't know if that's true or not, but he killed more people than Stalin, Hitler, and Pol Pot put together. And in the name of ideology, and these are all very rational, they're not criminals. They are rational people, but when they get together and my religion or my ideology or my faith or my country or my, you know, when they get together, they become worse than animals. And that is what they say, that this golden plate of ignorance is covering us. And it could be anything. But the point is that ordinary, intelligent, normal human beings, when they get together and they get under the influence of this ideology, simple people become worse than criminals. They torture, they kill. So that's what they say, that this golden plate is covering the truth. We all are, in fact, the truth, the consciousness, but it is covered with this plate of ignorance. And O sun god, you are the one alone who can remove it. So the idea is here, of course, the sun represents the Lord, but the Lord that is within me is the Lord that can remove this ignorance of my own true nature. And they say for that, one has to make a conscious effort. As we have talked about before, that I have to decide that the direction of my life I have to change. I have to change my life because I, right now I don't know who I am, and that is my ignorance. Because I think of myself to be this body, and the moment I think myself to be this body, then whatever happens to the body is happening to me. I think of myself as being these emotions. I'm a very angry person, or I'm a very impatient person, or I'm a very jealous person, or I'm a very loving person, I'm a very compassionate. So I think of myself as being this mind. And then again, today the mind is happy, tomorrow it is unhappy. So you will suffer. I think of myself as being this individual, this knowledge. You know, I'm a PhD, or I'm a Republican, or I'm a conservative, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Hindu, or I'm a Muslim, or I'm a communist, I'm a socialist, I'm a capitalist. So again, when you identify, then again, today, you know, communism is doing well, and then tomorrow communism will go down. Today the Republican Party was in power, now the Democratic is in power. Then again you will suffer. So if you identify with the body will change. If you identify with the mind will change. If you identify with the ideas will change. If you identify with the desires also can change. So they say constantly stay with that understanding that I am that consciousness. I am not this body. And you have to constantly tell yourself that. Constantly apply that. Constantly, yes, my body is hurting or my mind is hurting, but I am none of those. Tomorrow if somebody insults me or somebody does not say hello to me, does not smile at me, doesn't matter, because I am the consciousness. Yeah, he may hurt my body, he may insult my mind, he may, you know, criticize my ideas, but I am none of those. When you stay with that concept, that I am that consciousness, then nobody can do anything. Then you can put me on the cross, you can give me poison, you can throw me from, you know, Prahlad was thrown from the mountain. And he just said, you know, Vishnu, Vishnu, that's all. You know, that's all he was just saying. And the Lord himself came and held him. And he was thrown off. The Mirabai was given poison by her own father-in-law. And she cheerfully drank it. She said, if Krishna wants me to drink poison, I will drink it. And she drank that poison. And that poison turned into nectar, where she became immortal even today. You know, so many hundred years after she has passed away, we still remember her name with reverence and love. Why? Because she had total faith in the Lord. So that is what they say, that turn your attention to me, he says, if you want to know me. If you turn your attention to the world, then it doesn't help. So turn your, and remember that I am that consciousness. It is because of me that you are aware of this whole world. It is because of me. And I am there with you constantly. In fact, I am not only with you, I am there with all beings. So again, when I see the Lord within, that's what the great saints say, that when you experience him within, then he immediately becomes manifest in all. Right now, I do not see the Lord in any of them. I see the individuals because I have not seen him within. Once you experience that I am that divinity, that's what the Upanishad says, Aham Brahmasmi, or the teacher says, Tat Tvam Asi, you are that consciousness. Oh, student, you are not this ordinary human being. And why does the teacher say that? Because the teacher himself has experienced Aham Brahmasmi, I am that consciousness. Once you experience it, then it becomes very easy. And why is it not so easy? Because as she said, we have lifetimes of ignorance. It's not only ignorance of this lifetime, it is the vasanas of so many lifetimes, right from when I was the plant and I became a fish and an animal and a human, and then I don't know how many human births I have had. So I have accumulated lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. It's like the layer of dirt, you know, which is there for a long period of time. And the light is there in the lamp, but you cannot see it. Why the lamp is all black? Because of years of soot. You know, the soot is there. And so you light the lamp and light doesn't illumine the room. Then you take a brush and polish the glass and clean that soot, and the light shines beautifully, illumines the whole room. So we have lifetimes of ignorance. And if we sit down and one by one I try to remove my vasanas and my... It's like sitting down and polishing. It will take too long. They say, approach me. The Lord says, just come to me and instantly I will remove all the dirt. He's like the magic genie. You know, that you just tell him, clean the room, and instantly the room is clean. So the Lord says, you can do that one by one. You can say, okay, I'm not going to get angry from now. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to be greedy. I'm going to be loving. Yeah, that's very good. That's where you put the effort. But then, when you approach him in love, then it becomes his responsibility. He says, then, Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu sansara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. In the 12th chapter, he says, the one who approaches me, maya veshita chetasam, whose mind is totally drowned in me, soaked in me, he says, then I lift that person up, then it becomes my responsibility. You surrender to me, and then you say, Lord, I cannot do it. This ignorance, I cannot. You uncover it. You remove it. I cannot do it. You approach him in total love and total surrender. And that is not very easy. You know, we say surrender, but to surrender the individuality, the ego, again, it does not mean that you become a useless person just lying there doing nothing and, Lord, I am surrendered. You take it. That's not it. Where I have done my best, and now I cannot do any more. Now the rest is your job. And you assign him a job and he is efficient. You know, he carries the whole universe on, you know. Every plant in the universe is growing because of him. Every animal, every fish, every bird. So why cannot he take care of me? When I approach him, he says, then you approach him and tell him that I cannot uncover this plate of ignorance. Oh Lord, you alone can uncover it. You alone can remove it. And I am a seeker of the truth. I want the truth, but I am, at this moment, incapable of reaching it. So that is what these two beautiful shlokas say, that the Lord is hidden within us as the light, as the consciousness. It is the ignorance of Maya. And through right knowledge, through approaching a teacher, through listening to teachers like Swami Chinmayananda, whatever I am speaking is... most of it is coming from Swamiji's tapes and his books and his commentary. So by meeting with teachers and saints and by listening to them and by praying to the Lord, spending some amount of time every day. I think what they say is that some amount of your time every day should be spent in service, some amount of time in prayer, some amount of time in accumulating the right knowledge. And then meditation. I think when you do these three or four things, and same thing about the wealth also, they say that a part of your wealth must be used in the service of the Lord. And when you do that, then only you will know him. Otherwise, your life will end, and then, you know, you just have to start all over again. So this human birth has been given to us. It's a wonderful opportunity. We have the Bhagavad Gita in front of us. We have a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda and Swami Ishwarananda and all the other acharyas that come here. So take advantage of this opportunity. Don't waste this chance, because the human birth you may not get again. That's what they say. That 84 lakh yoni out after 8.4 million lifetimes, you got this human birth. And if you waste it, then you don't know. Next time again, we may be born as an animal or a bird or a fish. And who knows when the human birth will come. So take advantage and try to experience the Lord, not as somebody in the temple or church or mosque or somebody up in heaven or somebody whom I will meet after dying. You know, people say, after death, I will meet him posthumously. What use is that? No, meet him right here. He is here with you. Why wait till death? So that is these two beautiful shlokas. We have 5 minutes. If anybody would like to add anything or ask any questions.
Yes. Did I understand you to say that we only have so many chances?
No, it's not that. I mean, the chances are limitless. But why go through again more births and deaths? Shankaracharya ji in Bhaj Govindam, I last week talked about that group. He says, Punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, punarapi janani, jathare shayanam. He says, again birth, and again then die, then again go into the mother's womb, and then spend 9 months there, and then come out crying, and then go through ABCD again, and diapers, and all that filth, and vomiting, and all that nonsense. And then you slowly grow up, and then you have to go to school, and then your teacher beats you because you don't know ABCs, and then you have to learn the ABCs, and then all this, you know, theorems and Pythagoras and all that nonsense, and then go through school and college and again, and then have children and husband and wife and all those headaches and problems, and again you go through that, and then again you die, and again. So that's what I'm saying. Why go on and on?
You know, when we talk to the clouds and the golden plate, I mean, golden plate is very attractive. The clouds are not. So why it is saying that golden plate is like that? Because our life, we think, is very fun.
Right.
We look at this outside, oh, I like this flower, it makes me so happy. I like this person, it makes me so happy. Or, you know, that this is the golden plate, what I like all the time. The clouds are the one which I don't like, I dislike. So I look at the clouds, and that golden plate is like our likes and dislikes, which either makes us happy or makes us sad. So we need to get out of that so we can be always be in bliss, not too happy or not too sad, but be in bliss. I mean, that's what I look in the golden plate and clouds. So what you want to do is, this should be done while you're alive. Who wants to, who knows after death, nobody's come and told me how it feels like, you know, that time. So this is the only time that we're going to be able to feel that. That's why he says that we should take advantage of this birth. Because you want to feel that in this birth, not wait till the death. So you don't want to go for the gold plate or the clouds. You just want to be having that bliss all the time, which nothing can disturb you.
And last week you had asked a question about desires. The desires are not given by him. The desires come out of ignorance. Because I do not know myself to be complete. In fact, each and every one of us is the divinity, which is all complete, all perfect. But not knowing myself to be complete, because of ignorance, I get this desire to know, to acquire, that by getting the next car, I'll be happy, or the next million, I'll be happy, or the next wife, I'll be happy. I don't like this wife, but maybe the next wife. I don't like this house, maybe the next house. So the desires come out of ignorance. That's why in the saints, they become totally desireless. Because for them, there is nothing to reach because they have already acquired the highest. But then he gives us the ability to fulfill the desires. The desires come out of ignorance, but the ability to fulfill the desires come from him. And you can have either good desires or you can have bad desires. You can have a desire to get the next million or you can have a desire to know God. So the ability to fulfill the desires comes from him. The desires do not come. Desires come out of our ignorance.
But you can also have a desire for knowledge and just keep going after it. You know, and any of, like you were saying, service, devotion, and right knowledge, that can also turn into almost an obsession.
Yes, yes. But people do that. You know, for 6 months they study Buddhism, and then they go and study German philosophy, and then they study Confucius. So yeah, that is again an obsession where you're just trying to collect more knowledge and it's not changing you. See, knowledge is good, but the knowledge should lead to an internal change. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it is just, you know, it's just a repetitive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not taking you anywhere.
So is that where the meditation maybe comes in?
Yes. Okay. Meditation and starting applying that knowledge. That this knowledge of the Gita, I then start applying in my day-to-day life. Yes.
Living in this practical world with all the desires we have, what's the best way to get rid of that? I mean, we have to work, we have
yes.
desire that our kids get successful, we have desire to have a good life. So what's the best way? How do you...
I think do that as a duty, as a service. That the Lord has placed me in this position where I'm a wife, I'm a physician, I'm a mother, and so on. So whatever duties have been assigned to me, I do it as a duty, as a service of the Lord. And that my children, when I'm cooking food for them, or getting them ready for school, or wanting them to go to a good college, I'm serving the Lord. So my duty as a mother, as a wife, as a you know, whatever, as a daughter of my parents, I have to do to the best of my ability. But without ego, that I am the doer, that the Lord has placed me and I am his servant. So work with that. So every activity, even cooking becomes meditation then. Even taking a bath or even, you know, brushing your teeth. When you are thinking about the Lord, then every activity becomes meditation. So doing all your duties, but without having an ego and without having a selfish, you know, desire. And once you do that, then that person becomes a Mahatma Gandhi, because Mahatma Gandhi used to do that. Every action of his, he took it as a service of the Lord. And he saw the Lord in all the humans, in all the beings, so even in the poor and downtrodden. So when you do your activities as a service of the Lord, and then also spend some amount of time in prayer. Some amount of time. Just sit down in front of the Lord and to do some prayer or just some chant, some shlokas. And then spend some amount of time in studying. And reading about him, and then applying that knowledge in the world, and meditation, I think all those things. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhavam. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru.